This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And that's Sean O'Hara, who's an NFL Network analyst, and you can follow him on Twitter at SeanO'Hara60. And just a reminder, NFL Network provides live coverage of the 2019 NFL Scouting Combine, March 1st through the 4th. Sean, always great to catch up with you. Thanks for the time, and how are you?
Hey, Zach. Doing well, man.
Well, thank you for coming on, and we appreciate it. Your journey to success in the NFL is a fascinating one. You went to Rutgers, then you were undrafted. You ended up going to Cleveland before making your final stop with the Giants, and you went to three Pro Bowls. You won a Super Bowl with Big Blue as well. Take me back, though, to the beginnings and what you remember coming out of Rutgers trying to make it into the NFL.
Yeah, I remember obviously just kind of wondering, man, am I going to get a chance? Coming out of Rutgers, it wasn't exactly the pipeline to the NFL. And, you know, obviously now Rutgers has a lot more guys in the NFL than they did when I was there. But I walked on at Rutgers, and I essentially walked on in the NFL. I think the biggest, you know, thing that I was really just concerned with was, am I going to get an opportunity to go into camp and to play football and to show them? Because, you know, when you leave the college program, you just don't know. I didn't think I was going to get drafted. There was an out, you know, a possible, you know, small possibility could happen, but I kind of knew I was going to have to, you know, make it as a free agent. So ironically enough, my first invitation to the combine came from the NFL Network as an analyst, not as a player. but looking back on it, you know, obviously things worked out for me. You know, I had six different pro days because I didn't go to the combine. So I basically had to work out whenever scouts were in the area or happened to be passing through, and decided to take a break on exit 9 of the turnpike. And that's when I would work out. So in 1 week, I had four pro days one time. So when I hear players complaining about having to work out or run multiple 40s, I break out my violin.
Sean O'Hara here with us. There's always that period of skepticism like you're talking about. But when was the moment that you knew not only could you play in the league, but you could play at a pretty high level?
You know, people ask me that a lot. When did you know you made it in the NFL? And I'd say, you know, probably year three, halfway through year three. You know, I played my first 2 years. I played as a backup. I played some special teams. I started four games at center as a rookie because somebody got hurt. But my first couple of years, I was really just trying to figure out if, you know, how I could become a starter. My third year, I started all 16 games at right guard, and that was the first time where I really felt like, okay, you know what, I could play this game, and you know what, I can hang. You know, that's kind of built my confidence. But still, even then, I felt like I was, because I was undrafted, I was literally on 1 year deals every year. My third year, I was a restricted free agent. I signed a minimum contract for 1 year. My fourth year in Cleveland, even after starting 16 games at right guard, they didn't sign me to a long-term deal. So I came back in my fourth year on a 1 year contract, a minimum, you know, they called it a tender at the time. I signed a 1 year tender. So I really didn't feel established until I came to the New York Giants. My dad and I and my mom, we talked about it at the time. That was the very first time in my NFL career that I felt wanted. Somebody actually came and said, we want you to come to our team and we will sign you to a 3 year contract to be our starting center. So that was really kind of my NFL moment that, okay, you know what, I belong and I've got a future.
Let me get your view from inside the trenches on this draft class. I know Jonah Williams is the big offensive lineman out of Alabama. We'll see who else will go in round number one as well. But this is a big defensive lineman draft. It looks like there's going to be a ton of defensive linemen taken early off the board.
Yeah, it's loaded with talent, both defensive tackle, defensive end players, and then a lot of edge rushers, which, you know, some people call linebackers, outside linebackers, but definitely loaded defensively. So, yeah, you mentioned Jonah Williams. Obviously, you know, he's the tackle from Alabama that a lot of people are talking about. He also could play guard if they needed him to. You know, when you look in the NFL, you know, everybody is trying to get after the quarterback. You need guys that can protect the quarterback. So a couple names that are also out there as tackles: Andre Dillard, the tackle from Washington State, Juwan Taylor, the tackle from Florida. Those guys are going to get some attention. Cody Ford, the tackle from Oklahoma. Those are some of the big-name guys. And then there's a couple of other guys under the radar. There's a really good center coming out from NC State, Garrett Bradbury. So those guys are guys that I'm just now starting to get to know a little bit, start to watch film on and find out who they are. And then really defensively, I'm curious to see how many defensive players go in the top five, because for years it's always – you know, when this time starts, quarterbacks are just, you know, people are just starting to talk about them. Well, in a couple of weeks is usually when trades start happening. Teams start kind of moving up after the combine. They start positioning for those quarterbacks. So are people going to move up in the draft to try to take a quarterback early on? And if so, does that push some of these really good defensive players back a little bit further? You know, if I'm sitting there in the top five and I've got a chance to pick Josh Allen from Kentucky, I don't see any way I could not put his name on the card. I mean, he's a special player.
Heck of a story, too.
Man, really good story. You know, almost, he committed to Monmouth.
Monmouth, yeah. And then Kentucky came calling out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks to, I think his coach put in a good word for him.
High school, yeah.
You know, it's pretty remarkable how athletic he is at that size. So he definitely could be a good player. We just actually interviewed Cleland Farrell from Clemson. He's a talented player. So there's a lot of really good guys. Quinnen Williams, obviously from Alabama. He's another stud coming out. So a lot of these guys in the top five, you could easily see a team jumping on them early.
That's what I love about this time of the year as well, because you get so many dreams that are made, but you appreciate a story like Allen even more, because that was someone that he was just appreciative that he, you know, he got two stars, you know, in the ranking. This was someone that never thought this would probably be possible.
Yeah, I love that aspect of it. And even at the combine, you get guys that were long shots. And, you know, next thing you know, they're vaunting their way up draft boards and, you know, eventually could end up being a first-round pick. So that's great. You know, I also try to always take time to mention to people, just because you didn't get invited to the combine doesn't mean it's over, you know, and there's still an avenue. And even if you don't get drafted every year, you know, there's probably three or four undrafted free agents that make every team because they were consistent and they were able to, you know, to prove some worth to a couple of these teams. So all is not lost if you don't get drafted, and it's certainly not lost if you don't get invited to the combine.
Talking to Sean O'Hara right now on CBS Sports Radio, the former NFL offensive lineman, played with the Giants and the Browns. Sean, you know, you mentioned the quarterback position, and we'll see who does move up. But really, teams are looking, and everyone's looking at the teams at 6 and 7 right now with the Giants and the Jaguars. Jaguars could be in play for Nick Foles, so we'll see what happens there. But how about one of your former teams in Big Blue? You have the whole Eli situation. You have Haskins, Murray on the board, and a few others. What do you think the Giants do at 6 if their top preference at quarterback is available?
Yeah, I don't know if either one of these quarterbacks are worth a 6th overall pick. You know, it's pretty remarkable year to year, you know, the quarterback talent, how teams can fall in love with them. And you know, look, I think last year, the four big quarterbacks that came out, I think they're all better than these two coming out now. So I'm still learning about these guys. You know, Dwayne Haskins obviously burst onto the scene this year with JT Barrett leaving. Obviously, Kyler Murray, you know, winning the Heisman, obviously thrust him into the spotlight, and he's a pretty dynamic player. I think they're both pretty green. And really, when you look at some of the quarterbacks that came out last year, Sam Darnold, even though he was young, he had been starting for 3 years. Josh Rosen had played a lot of football. Josh Allen had played a lot of football. Baker Mayfield had played a lot of football. So these two guys in Haskins and Murray, you know, look, we talk a lot and you hear a lot of rhetoric about how these quarterbacks come in the NFL and they're not ready because of the system that they played in college. So these guys didn't even play a whole lot in college. So I think that's a factor in it. When I look at the Giants, if I'm Dave Gettleman and I'm sitting here with the 6th overall pick, I'm going to look at the big picture and I'm going to say, what do we need to make us a Super Bowl contender this year? defense is what I'm looking at. And when I look at my roster, I don't have anybody on my roster that scares anybody. I don't have anybody that's taken over the game that teams have the game plan for. So if someone like Josh Allen is available at sixth, that's a slam dunk. I'm taking him. If I can get one of these pass rushers, somebody that can win a one-on-one matchup, somebody that can give me some good production this year, I don't see any way that they get around it. The Giants' defense last year stunk, flat out. They couldn't get off the field. They couldn't get to the quarterback. Olivier Vernon had a couple of spurts and a couple of games where he was an impact player, but he wasn't a dominant player. And I think that's what they need. When you look at the Giants' championships, take their last two Super Bowls. Take all four of them if you want. All right, they had Lawrence Taylor out there for the first two. In Super Bowl 42, we had Michael Strahan, O.C. Umanyiora, Justin Tuck, Jay Alford. We had guys that could flat out get after the quarterback. Super Bowl 46, Justin Tuck, JPP. They got after the quarterback. They took over games. And I think that's what you have to have. You have to have guys that can close games out. The Giants scored more points than anybody else in their division, and yet they couldn't find a way to win games. So I would be gearing towards some defense, especially early on in the draft.
Two other things with the Giants right now. You have the Odell trade rumors and then the Landon Collins locker tweet situation. Touch on Odell and Landon Collins.
You know, I think I guess it's just pretty much going to be norm that we're going to be talking about OBJ in the offseason. And it's, you know, I think that people just talk about him because he's a polarizing figure. Some people love him. Some people don't love the antics. I don't see how we're still talking about are they trying to trade him? Because you don't trade a generational player like that, just like you wouldn't trade Saquon Barkley 2 years from now. So they signed him to a long-term deal because they expect him to produce. I mean, really, if I'm tight with Odell Beckham, I'm sure I'm having conversations with him about, hey, man, don't you want to get back to them talking about your play on the field? Aren't you sick of them talking about everything off the field? You got your contract. You got your money. Let's go. Let's do it. I think he's got 9 touchdowns combined in the last 2 years. He basically has not finished a season now since the year they went to the playoffs. And he didn't finish that one very well either. So I think there's a lot of motivation there for Odell. And I think that's when you want your players the most, when they're hungry, when they're motivated. I expect him to come back and have a big year. And, you know, I think that if I'm OBJ, I know that Eli can still throw the ball. So if I'm him, I'm dying to get back in there and get back in sync with Eli.
Where do you think Collins is playing football next year?
I think the Giants are going to tag him. You know, I don't think they're going to let him walk. And why would you? He's been one of the best safeties in the NFL the last 3 years, you know, shooting 3 years ago. I think he had 5 interceptions. He had a couple of touchdowns. You know, he was arguably one of the best safeties in the game. You know, he's been hurt. The last 2 years, you know, he finished on IR. He broke his arm 2 years ago. He hurt his shoulder last year. I see why the Giants would be hesitant to sign him to a long-term deal when you have a player who is a downhill hitter and his game is based on hitting people and attacking. You're going to be a little hesitant on a long-term deal and what that can do exposure-wise from a guaranteed standpoint. So the franchise tag, I mean, I look at it differently. You know, the franchise tag is there to buy you more time to negotiate a long-term deal. I don't look at it as a negative thing. It's not a derogatory statement at all. Basically, what they're saying is you're the best at what you do. We need to find a way to pay you long-term, and this is what we're going to do in the meantime. And really, for Landon Collins, you know, if I'm him, I've got no problem playing on the tag if I have to. You know, I think the Giants have always been pretty diligent about paying guys that show up. I think Landon Collins, they need Landon Collins, not just on the field, but the culture in that locker room has completely changed from what it was a year ago. A year ago this time, you and I would be having a conversation about what went wrong and what's going on in that locker room. There was a lot of drama, a lot of talk, a lot of infighting, and I think Landon Collins helped squelch all of that, and there's a reason why he was wearing a C on his chest.
When we take a look back at the Steelers with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, and we know Bell won't be back and they're going to trade Brown in this offseason, what can they learn from this? There's nothing you could do with the Bell situation, but with Antonio Brown, seems like there's a lot of internal issues there between the coach, the quarterback, and AB.
Yeah, two really interesting aspects of the NFL. And, you know, really they both are kind of hurting each other. You know, I think Antonio Brown, and you look at the drama and his antics and what he's done, he's the exact reason why teams are scared to pay a guy like Le'Veon Bell, because of what he's doing now. I mean, now he's demanding a trade and he wants a new contract. And, you know, listen, you just signed a huge deal 2 years ago. You need to honor that and let's go. You're still one of the highest paid receivers in the game. So when you see a guy doing that as an organization, you look and you say, well, this is why we're not going to pay a guy, because now we got to deal with this. I think for Le'Veon Bell, you know, what he did his first 5 years, I mean, he's one of the best running backs in the NFL. And for him to have to sit out, I'm sure that was a tough call. I don't know how, as a player, you give up the opportunity to earn $14 million, which would have made him the highest paid running back in the NFL before Todd Gurley's deal. So it would have been good money. It's not chump change. It's not like he was playing on a rookie deal and he was making minimum. So that one to me is tough. I have mixed emotions about it, because I think if I was on that team, I would have felt like we had a Super Bowl caliber team with Le'Veon Bell. And he chose not to play, and that hurt us. So I think that there's probably some resentment there. But really what it comes down to on that team is, it doesn't matter how much talent you have. If you don't have chemistry with your team, if you don't have guys that you can pull aside and say, hey, man, we've got some beef, let's fix it, like men, not on social media. If you don't have that, you're not going to win.
Great stuff, Sean. I can talk to you all day. We appreciate a few minutes. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Zach. Appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.